The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Today we turn to another practice that is peculiar to the Primitive Baptists, the foot washing service. Jesus Christ himself gave us this example when he knelt down after the institution of the communion service and wash the disciples' feet. He tells us that we ought to do this, and that we will be happy if we do. Join us today as we explore the foot washing service and come to a better understanding of why we engage in this sweet practice.
When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were as those who fall
of our time, I want to turn to another practice that Primitive Baptists employ at the time of the communion service, which is washing the disciples' feet. Now, I understand that's some people in the world think that's weird, okay? Some people think it's a strange thing, and I understand that. Now, I grew up among some Baptists that didn't practice the washing of the disciples' feet. But I can remember one of the old preachers saying it would be a really good thing for us to do. We really ought to do it sometime. But we didn't do it ever when I was growing up. So there wasn't necessarily an opposition to it in the place where I grew up, but it just wasn't a practice that we employed. So again, we need to ask the question, why do we do it? What is the biblical basis for anything we do in church? Because remember, our articles of faith say that the Word of God, the Bible, is the only rule of faith and practice. We believe it's the Word of God, and it's the only rule of faith and practice. Well, turn with me over to John chapter 13, and we'll see, I believe, before the time is up today, that the Lord has told us that we ought to do this and that it's good for us. In John chapter 13, and we're going to look here beginning in verse 1, and we're going to read a little bit this morning. John chapter 13 and verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. One thing we see here, and by the way, if you'll go and compare to the other Gospels, this is the time of that last Passover service, okay? That's the time when he's going to do this. It's going to be around the time they've completed that, and I believe it's after he's already instituted the new procedure, the new practice of the Lord's Supper. Okay, verse 2, and supper being ended, The devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Here we see the Lord of glory getting down on his knees and washing the disciples' feet. Now listen to what happens here. Then cometh, you know, there's always been objections to the foot washing service. The first one came from Simon Peter. So if you object, if you've been struggling with it, okay, you're in good company. Simon Peter, he was struggling with it. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. You ever thought that? I mean, I kind of, before I came to the Primitive Baptist, I said, I'm not going to let anybody wash my feet, you know. Peter's, you know, for different reasons here, he's not going to let the Lord wash his feet. But Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And there's a lot of theological implications to that that I won't get into. Let me just say, he's not saying that if you don't engage in the foot washing service, you can't go to heaven. That's not what he's talking about here. But he's making a theological point about how his blood had to wash away the sins of his people. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And that's another, I love Simon Peter. You ever heard of overcorrecting? You know, you get off in one ditch, and you know, I always tell you, don't overcorrect. Don't whip the wheel back over too far because you end up in the other ditch. But isn't that what we do all the time? We just one ditch to the other. So Simon Peter said, You're never going to wash my feet. And then he says, If I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part with it. Then wash me all over, you know. Go all the way to the other ditch. And then Jesus said this, and this is sweet. And again, it's a whole sermon here that I don't have time to get into. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. And what he's saying there is this. And let me just give you the view here, the analogy here. In that day, they wore sandals or went barefoot wherever they went, and they had public baths. So they'd go down to these public baths, and they'd bathe all over. But then they'd walk home, and they'd get their feet dirty again, okay? Well, they're clean all over, but their feet are dirty, and they needed to wash their feet. Well, beloved, that's kind of the way we are, is it not, in a spiritual sense? We are washed clean by the blood of Christ, but we still live in this dirty world. And we get our feet dirty, and sometimes we need to stop. That's what he's talking about over in 1 John, over there where he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's not saying, confess your sins to go to heaven. He said, because you're going to heaven, confess your sins, because you're still living in this sin-cursed world. That's another sermon. But now, he says, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you. Now here's the point for us on Sunday when we have this communion service followed by the foot washing service. He said, ye call me master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. He's telling them, you're my children. You call me master, and don't you forget, I really am your master. I'm your master and Lord. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Now, why do we wash feet? In verse 14, Jesus said, If I, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Now, I don't know what your daddy was like, but when my daddy looked at me and said, Son, you ought to go feed the cows, he didn't give me an option there. He wasn't saying, you know, if you feel like it, or I don't really like to get dirty like that, so I'm just going to still stay here and play some video games or watch something on TV. That didn't work. I mean, I'm not saying I never tested the limits of his patience. I did, but I learned right quickly that ought meant go. You ought to do it. If Daddy said you ought to do it, it wasn't optional. I ought to do it. And we believe, do we not, that Jesus, you know, my daddy knew a lot more about farming than I did. He'd tell me things sometimes like, this is the way you ought to rake the hay. This is the way you ought to cut the hay. This is the way you ought to bale the hay. And you know why the reason I did what he said I ought to do? Because I knew he knew more than I did. He knew better than I did. Do we not believe that Jesus knew what he was doing when he instituted this communion service? Then we also ought to believe that Jesus knew what he was doing when he said we ought to wash one another's feet. He said in the next chapter, verse 15 of chapter 14, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And when Jesus says you ought to do something, then we ought to do it. That's enough, right? Isn't that good enough? That's all we really ought to have is that Jesus said do it. So therefore we ought to wash one another's feet. But I want to keep going because there's some sweet truths here, some sweet things to understand about the foot washing service. Now, secondly, Jesus showed us that we ought to do it. He didn't just tell us to do it. He did it himself. He said, verse 15, I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Jesus showed us that we ought to do it. Remember who this is, beloved. This is the Lord of glory. This is Jesus Christ who sits now at the right hand of the Father on high, who at the time he was here in the flesh was still God. He was still true God, just right along with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. He is the Lord of glory, kneeling down to wash the feet of these disciples, one particularly of whom he knew would betray him in just a few hours. He got down on his feet and he got down on his knees and he washed his feet. Philippians 2 and verse 5 says this. Paul's writing to the church there at Philippi. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay, what's the mind of Christ Jesus? Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, he is true God of true God. It would be robbery for me to claim to be God. It was not robbery for Jesus to claim to be God because he really was God. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took on him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He says the mind of Christ ought to be in us. Because Christ dwells in us, right? We ought to have the mind of Christ. So if this mind of Christ is in us, then no amount of weirdness of you're thinking about your feet or somebody washing your feet or washing somebody else's feet ought to keep us from doing it, right? If this mind of Christ is within us, then no amount of pride ought to keep us from kneeling down at our brother's feet and washing his feet. If this mind of Christ is in us, no amount of ridicule, of people making fun of us, saying, that's the weirdest thing I've ever heard. Y'all are those foot-washing Baptists, right? I've been called that before. And, I've also been called the snake-handling Baptist, but we're not snake handlers, but we are foot-washers, and I'm proud to acknowledge that, okay? If the mind of Christ is in us, then no amount of ridicule or persecution or anything else from the world or its teachings ought to keep us from doing it. Because Jesus got down on his knees and he washed these dirty feet of these sinful disciples. You know, I can't even imagine what was going through the minds of the angels that were attending him. There's a spirit world out there, and these angels, I know, were out here in the world surrounding him there as he began to kneel down and to wash these disciples' feet. Can you imagine Gabriel sitting there with his sword and his sheathed? Or I could almost see him grabbing his sword and say, what is he doing? What is he doing? Does he not know how sinful they are? Does he not know how dirty they are? The captain of the Lord's hosts is bending down in washing the feet of his disciples. See, he gave us that example. That's why we do it. He told us we ought to, and he showed us that we ought to. Now, most of us here have had at least one time where we've participated in the foot washing service, but just there's several new members, and there's several maybe here that have not seen it or not been able to partake of it, but just to give us a little primer on it, this is how we do it. It's the only time in this church that we separate by gender. Women on one side and the men on the other side, because it wouldn't be appropriate to have men and women washing feet together here. But it's appropriate to talk to someone beforehand. I usually do that. I usually try to wash several of the members' feet. I certainly want to do that with the new members, the new male members. And it's appropriate to talk with somebody beforehand and sort of see if they want to wash feet with you. And I want to encourage you, you know, it's good to do it with your close friends. There's nothing wrong with that. There's a comfort there. But it's also appropriate sometimes to just to maybe reach out to those you aren't as close to. And just maybe, now look, I preached on this one time before, I think, and I had to make sure everybody understood. I said, somebody that you've been mad at or somebody that's gotten mad at you, you know, reach out to them and wash feet with them. And then I had to correct it and make sure that when I went to Uncle Mackey, it wasn't because I was mad at him or he was mad at me. So don't read anything into any of that, okay? I'm just telling you, though, but because as we're about to see, and I want to close with what it means to us, it's important. It's an important time to reset, okay? If you've never done it before, get with someone who has, okay? It may seem a little awkward in your mind, but I promise you afterward, you'll be glad you did it. So why? What does it mean? Why did Jesus institute this? What does it mean to us, and why we do it? Well, first of all, as we've already said, it's an act of obedience and submission to Him. He said you ought to, so we ought to. Secondly, it is a visible enactment. You know, we don't have plays. We don't have theater here and things where we put on productions to try to share the gospel. We just preach the gospel, right? But the ordinances of the church are the two times when we enact the gospel message, right? We enact it. We give a visible sign, a showing of what the gospel is. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ in the baptism, and the body and blood of Christ in the communion. Well, here in the foot washing service, what we have is an enactment, a visible enactment of the new commandment. Remember what he said in John 13 and verse 34? He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So when you get down on your knees and you wash your brother or sister's feet, it is an enactment of that commandment of loving one another. This practice binds us together in a way that nothing else can. You know, I believe, you know, Jesus gave us in the communion service the only thing that sufficed for the remission of sins, his broken body and his shed blood. But in conjunction with that, he gave us the one practice that would help us most to get along with one another in this world. Because think about what's happened here. He saved us for eternity, but we're not in eternity yet. I don't know if you've noticed lately, but you're still a sinner. I know you've noticed that I'm still a sinner, but we're all still sinners, you see. And so we're going to get on one another's nerves. We're going to say something that's going to offend somebody. We're going to do something and get mad at one another when we shouldn't. There's going to be times in the church setting when that happens. But the kingdom of God is something special. The kingdom of God is not just the Rotary Club. If you get mad at the president of the Rotary Club, you can get out of it and go somewhere else. Well, yeah, you can leave the church, but you ought not to. In the church setting, you need to work out your problems. How do we do that? He gave us the one practice that would help us most to get along with one another in church and in our families, which ought to be just an extension of the kingdom of God. Because I want to tell you, beloved, it's hard to stay mad at somebody who is kneeling before you and washing your feet in an humble, sweet, precious fashion. It's hard to stay mad at somebody whose feet you're washing. I've told my children before, if you're mad at somebody, start praying from them. Start praying for them. You'll get over it. You can't stay mad at somebody you're praying for, okay? Ephesians 4 and verse 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. See, this service of washing the disciples' feet, washing each other's feet, solidifies, or ought to solidify, the loving spirit that we are supposed to have here at Zion Church and among the brethren and sisters. I think I read this last time, but I'm going to read it again. Elder Oliphant, who is being featured right now on Grace Alone Radio, he wrote this many years ago. He said, we should seek the same patient temper that he exhibited on the cross and all through his life. We are often so petulant that if our brother does a wrong, we forsake the church with all its service on that account. This was not the temper of Christ. Though Peter denied him, he still loved him. And though the wicked ones nailed him to the cross, he prayed for them. And so we should earnestly seek that same temper and faithfulness that he had. And I would add to that, that is nowhere more displayed than in the washing of each other's feet. Now that's a visible sign of how we ought to act throughout the year. That's a visible enactment of the attitude we ought to have toward one another throughout the year. So let me wrap up the sermon this morning in this way. First of all, close communion. Close communion is not an attack on the sincerity of any other believer or any other church. God blesses those who sincerely seek to serve Him with the light that they have. But we are called to be separated, and this communion service requires a place of demarcation, a line to be drawn. We don't claim that we always get it right, but our purpose is not to offend anybody. It's not to exclude anybody, you know? There was a man in a church that I was a part of where they practiced closed communion. It wasn't a Primitive Baptist church. And he'd been baptized in another denomination of another type, another Baptist denomination. And he's a sweet guy. He's having a problem. He said, preacher, I think I ought to be able to commune. You know, we talked about close communion and closed communion and all that. And finally, at the end of it, I looked at him and I said, well, let me just share this with you. There is a way that you can commune with us next week. He said, what's that? I said, you can join the church. You can join the church. You can come down and be baptized, rebaptized if that's your circumstance. And you can be part of this. And you know what? The next Sunday you did, Brother Mackey. Praise the Lord. He was a sweet, obedient child of God. And I appreciate that so much. We don't always get it right. We're just trying to get it right. So we may mess it up, but that's what our practice is here. The foot washing service is like hitting the reset button. That service reminds us of the humility that's needed as we endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. In the communion service, Christ gave us the one memorial service that would point us to the only basis for our salvation, the finished work of the broken body and the shed blood of Christ. In the foot washing service, Christ gave us the one practice that would help us get along as we struggle within the bonds of the church with our own sin nature as well as the sin nature of our fellow church members. It's important for us, and this service is important for this church to do, both the communion service and the foot washing service, at least once a year. Paul said as often as you do it, so there'd be nothing wrong with doing it more. But I hope these principles have helped us to understand why we do what we do. And I hope you'll be praying for next week and for not just the meeting. I'm praying for Brother Tim and these other preachers that may come, that we'll have spirit-filled preaching here out of this pulpit. But I'm especially praying for Sunday morning when we get to sit down together and we get to commune together as a family of God, and we get to wash one another's feet, showing forth the humility that Christ had. And I pray that it will be a blessed service. I appreciate your kind attention.
Thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow when we'll present another message of God's sovereign grace. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.